Back and pick up some of the stuff that we've done on this that kind of brought us to this point. If you missed something, please feel free to do that today. We'd really appreciate you doing that. But I just want to say thanks for being here today. We've got our teenagers. They're down at Caswell, a lot of them, on a trip with some of the leaders. We've got some small groups out doing their fall retreat kind of thing together. But we're glad you're here today. They're out doing their thing, and they're doing building community and all that good stuff. Thanks for being here. I want to talk today in review, in a way, of what we've covered so far, just to bring us back up to date. And then I think you're going to enjoy the stories that we're going to hear today. Ephesians chapter 4 is a chapter that kind of culminates, I think, the whole idea of what it means to be a growing believer in Christ. And yet, as your personal identity as a growing believer in Christ intersects with other people who are growing in their faith as well, something really cool happens, and that interaction causes a synergy. A synergy, basically, all that really means is that when people get together to do something together, the total of it, the outcome of it, is greater than what would have happened had each of them approached a task individually. And so that's what the church is all about. The church is all about multiplication. And that is why organizations of people, when they are effectively operated, when they're effectively led, when people really have ownership and are really buying into the mission of the organization, that's when things really begin to hop. If you're working for a successful company, chances are that has happened at some point in time in the past, and that's kind of continued on through the culture of the organization. And as I was telling our folks in our Connect class this morning, which took place at 10 o'clock, we're kind of moving into an era of our church. We're in our second decade now, entering our second decade, and I'm really excited about some of the things that God has been showing us and some of the directions that that God has made evident to us for our future. And this plays, Ephesians 4 plays right into the sweet spot with regard to where God has us going, where He wants us to be. But before I go any further, I want to review a couple of points from last week that I think are very important, that will help kind of set the stage for what we're going to talk about today. So let's go to your outline and your what's up, and let's look at some review points real quickly. The first thing I want to review is the definition of a strength. Now, we talked about this, and in a few moments, we're going to, as a matter of fact, let's go ahead and do that now, Chuck. Why don't we do that? Malin, you have a slide back there. I told you last week that we have some books for some of you. You about 42 people last week signed up to be in a drawing for the Go Discover Your Strengths book that we're going to give you. And you've got to read that book. You've got to do the assessment piece with it. So it's somewhere there, Malin. Would you find that? It's a list of names. There you go. Those are our winners. So if you're one of those folks, then what you can do, you can go right back to that table right back there and pick up one. Now, I don't know how many we got left, Chuck. Do you?
Not very many.
So
we've already picked up one this morning.
Okay, so let them, y'all get back there real quick and grab that if you're one of these winners. You can go right now, Pat, to make sure it doesn't get sold out from under you. Why don't you go ahead and do that? Why don't you do that? And Amy, you've already got yours. I saw you walking around. Summer, you might want to do that too. I know Mark's out of town, and I think Tom is too. So we'll have to set some aside for them. But you know, you can go purchase whatever we have left. Maybe just set a summer. Take a couple of those over to the sound booth so we can hold them for those other guys that aren't here. And if you want to, you can draw that. You can pick that up. But let's talk about what a strength is real quickly. A strength is simply this. It is an activity in which you have the potential to consistently perform at a level of near perfection. That's very important. A level of near perfection, something that you can do on a regular basis, and consistently you can perform at a level of near perfection. Now, as we move into our some of the classes that we're doing, as we move more toward from membership in our church to partnership. Partnership, by the way, the motto we use there is that membership has its privileges, but partnership has its responsibilities. We are going to be focusing a whole lot more on how God specifically made you and who you are and how you are to plug into the church, because the church is all about action. Christianity is all about action. Following Christ is not about just being. It's about being, but we've got to understand that really being in Christ has to do with doing what we're supposed to do as a result of God's plan for us. And so a strength is an activity to have the potential to consistently perform at a level of near perfection. And it affirms two things. First of all, what you're good at. A strength is going to be something that you're naturally good at. The second thing it's going to affirm is that when you do this, you're going to feel energized. It's what energizes you. It's the thing that you don't feel drained after doing it. You don't feel exhausted, but rather a strength is something that you're good at and that is going to energize you. Now, last week, we did a little survey, and you helped me out on your connection cards, and I asked you to write a 1, 2, or a 3 with regard to whether or not you felt that you were living into your strengths most of the time during the week. And if you did that, you had a 1. If you felt like I'm living into my strengths hardly ever during the week, you did a 3. If you were somewhere in between, you did a 2. And the results came back like this. 40% of you, roughly 40%, came back with a 1, which said, you know, for the most of the week, I'm living into my strengths. Now, let me tell you are to be congratulated as a body, if that's the case, because you've obviously taken some steps and some actions that have put you in a position, because that's well above the national average. Only about 20% of you said I'm down there with a 3. I'm not living into my strengths at all. Well, you know, you've got some hope. You've got some room to grow. There's some steps that you can take, and we're going to help you with that in some courses that Chuck's going to be leading over the next couple of months. And about another 40% said, you know, I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm not devoid of living out my strengths, but I'm not quite doing it, you know, most of the time either. So we had a 40 and 40 and 20 results from that. And so with that as the backdrop, I've asked three of our longtime members and friends to come and share with us today about their journey into the idea of living out areas in their lives in which they're strong, areas that in which they're good, they're talented, they have strengths, and in which they're energized. So I'm going to welcome up to the stage Jonathan Garner. John, come on up. Y'all give John a big hand, along with Mark and Donna Clapp. John is our former youth pastor. Donna's also served on our staff, and Don and Mark have been with our church since the Holiday Inn days. As a matter of fact, they came when we were only about 3 months old, and they've been here ever since. And so we're going to talk to them a little bit today about their journey into this whole area of strengths. And so, y'all, we probably need to. Is it a little warm in here? Wade, you want to take care of that? Can you give us, where are you at, man? You got a key, so can you handle that for us? No, not that way. Not that way.
Get a very big leaf.
A very big leaf. So Chuck Ainsworth is our pastor of mobilization, which includes, basically says he's in charge of getting everybody moving. And he's going to help me with this. And so he and John go back a long way. They're really good buddies. And so I'm going to let you talk to John.
Sure.
Maybe tell him a story about what's going on with him.
Jonathan has a unique story and has learned a lot about his strengths in the last couple of years in particular. And I want him to share a little bit about that story. Most of you know that a few years back he served as our youth pastor. And tell me a little bit about that time in your life, and do you feel like that fit your strengths, or what was that experience like?
I felt like the portions of it did, which is what led me into it in the first place, such as the parts of working one-on-one with individuals, personal development, for others. But the majority of it I found did not. And in fact, I gave myself, I think, a 3 was the lowest,
right?
I think it was on that, and which is what, 25% or less?
About 20% or less.
20% or less, yeah. Living into your strengths in that area. And
But nationwide, I believe, Chuck, the percentage of people that are not living into their strengths week to week is much higher. Am I right?
Right. Nationwide, they say about 17% of people live the majority of their time in their strengths.
Okay, cool. All right, John.
It's pretty low. It's pretty sad.
Mm-hmm.
But I just began to realize that, well, I'm not necessarily great at a lot of the things I was having to do the majority of the time, such as administrational stuff and organizing big group activities and things like that. You know, I did it. We pulled it off. For the most part, I think it went pretty well. But it was never excellent. And in fact, most often it would drain me at the end of the day. Which is kind of the opposite of how a strength is defined. So,
and Jonathan had the privilege of being able to, I think, talk pretty openly with the staff and with Bud about that experience. And so how long ago was it that you made the transition to where you're at now?
Well, actually about a year and a half, 2 years ago. It was no secret among our staff that there were things in particular that I struggled with, the things that I mentioned earlier. And at various times, Bud and I would talk about these things, and you know, I would talk about it amongst the staff. We could talk about those things, which is a very, very, it's a great privilege that we could do that. But what was your question again? Should not have drank that Starbucks.
My question was why my microphone was humming. But we were asking about the transition. How long ago was it that you made the transition to over to Triumph?
Okay, it was about a year ago.
Okay, about a year ago. And yeah. Tell us what you currently do.
So now I currently work with individuals. I did have a point to what I was saying, by the way. The point was that the thoughts, that the seed was there before I made that transition, of course. I mean, it was a while. It was a build-up to that point. And Bud helped me make that transition. But anyway, now I am actually working with individuals one-on-one in the community who have behavioral and or mental disorders of all ages.
And tell me kind of where is that on the Bud scale of 1 to 3? Where do you feel like that one fits?
That's more of a 2. I'm definitely not at a 1 yet, but I feel like I'm progressing. I'm getting closer to where I need to be.
Yeah. So that's great. And that's one of the things that Bud and I want to emphasize, that, you know, Jonathan didn't just, learn about strengths, quit his job, and then jump right into the perfect position where he wants to be for the rest of his life. It's kind of an incremental process for most of us. Most of the time, we have to step by step begin to identify our strengths and step by step begin to move in that direction. He's not at a 3 yet. He's not a 1 yet where he totally wants to be, but he's moving in that direction. And that's really the goal with this whole strengths thing that we're talking about.
Exactly.
Now, you also have some hobbies, and actually, Jonathan, if we had time today, he could show you 5 strengths that he's clearly identified. He has them written out, typed out on paper in a lot of detail, and he's really allowed those things to drive a lot of his recent decisions about where and how he spends his time. One of them's a hobby, and it kind of follows along your adventure strength, is the way that Jonathan has described it to me. And we've actually got some pictures to show you. We had a video to show you of Jonathan competing in mixed martial arts. Some of you know what that is. We decided to save you because some of you wouldn't appreciate it as much as maybe we would. But this is his first full contact fight in Danville, Virginia. It was about a week or two ago, and he actually won in the first round. The guy tapped out. There's the mean guy that Jonathan is. By the way, I'm his trainer, in case you kind of probably guessed that just looking at me.
Yeah.
but it's something that energizes Jonathan, and maybe you just want to speak to that just a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny because I guess most people looking or thinking about mixed martial arts or who have seen it, they think more of the violent aspect of it. But it's weird because what drives me to do this are the same things that drove me to do things when I was a kid, such as just wrestling around in the backyard. Or I was always a very physical person. I was always coming home with knots on my head or scratches or bruises or bumps, and my dad nicknamed me Ricochet as a result. And it's funny because looking back, there were those things that energized me that I never really capitalized on. I really never had the, I guess you could say, the support, or I was just never very intentional about, again, capitalizing on that. So I tried gymnastics and stuff like that. Unfortunately, when I got to the point where I was able to go big with, they wanted to put me on a team or something, that my parents couldn't afford it. And I mean, it was always just goofy stuff like that that kind of kept me back. But then I wrestled in high school and really liked that. But now I feel like I found an avenue to really, you know, express myself and
that's good.
In a very unique way, and let energy out in a healthy way. And so that's kind of where I'm at with that.
In MMA, the mixed martial arts thing, Jonathan, is really safer than so many of the other sports like boxing, statistically.
Honestly,
right?
Statistically, yeah. Yeah, it really is. Because
so he's probably not going to get hurt too bad, y'all. So,
but I might. And this is, the thing is.
But he might.
That's probably what makes it attractive to him.
Honestly, because one of the things I define as far as my adventure strength, everybody would define that in different ways, the word adventure itself. But for me, that actually means, doing new things, adventurous things, things I've never done before, with people who are as equally motivated to try something new. And in fact, it's the danger of it that in a way it energizes me. Like, a lot of people might shrink back from certain things that you know, make them to fear what, but for some reason the fear actually, I feel like there's opportunity behind every fear. And as I face my fears, there's just new opportunities, and I get to experience things that I would have never experienced otherwise. And so it's yeah.
That's good.
Jonathan mentioned that even as a kid, some of these traits were evident, and his parents knew, you know, Ricochet, they called him. And that's true about our strengths. The research says that by age 5, a lot of our strengths are already visible. But then kind of as we go through school and college and we have all these adult expectations and responsibilities, a lot of times we suppress those things and we do what we think we're supposed to do. And maybe we do what we're good at, but we ignore that second part of the equation and we never ask the question about whether or not it truly energizes us. Mm-hmm. And so that's just kind of also some of the things that help us understand our strengths.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks, John. Great story, man. And it's continuing on. It's still growing, right?
And any of you guys who used to be like WWF fans or your MMA fans, you got to ask Jonathan to show you his belt, because he has one of these huge, like, gold-plated belts because he won the competition. It's really cool.
Tony's on the edge of the seat.
Gold,
he really
though.
Wants to see it. He really wants yeah. to see it.
I'm still at the amateur level, though, so I'm really thinking when I got it, I told Chuck, I think this was like from one of those little KB toy store, like Rocky Balboa kits. It probably came with some like little plastic gloves or something. But anyway,
one of the things also that we want to emphasize about strength is that what Jonathan has shared is really, he shared a little bit about his professional position at Triumph, but also about a hobby. When we talk about strengths, we're not only talking about your strengths in the workplace, but we're talking about your strengths in the totality of your life, hopefully the majority of our time is spent living in our strengths.
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting, Bud mentioned earlier the thing about it's something that energizes you, but also, like, when you're done with it, you're not exhausted. You don't feel drained, and that's, like, with practices for me, I push myself the hardest, probably out of everybody at my practice. In fact, there's been complaints about it. And what I've began to realize is that there are those who are actually there who are just trying it out, or who just want to be able to say maybe they do it, or they just want to say they know a mixed martial art or something like that. But at the end of the practices, I will push myself very, very hard throughout the whole thing. And at the end, I want to keep going. Like, it does not drain me. It doesn't make me say, man, you know, I'm sitting out tomorrow because this was just too tough, or whatever, you know. Like, I just want to keep going with it.
Get him off the stage quick before he starts doing it on us. But anyway. Yeah.
How many of you wish you had that feeling when you're done exercising?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, keep doing that. That's great. That's a good wish. John, thanks so much. That's a great story, man. And I assume it's safe to say that you're probably a one when it comes to the MMA stuff. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, Donna and Mark Clapp, let John know you appreciate his story and what he does. He's a pretty unusual fella. We've known all along that he's a pretty unusual fella, and he just keeps demonstrating it in new ways and great ways. So we're very proud of him, for him to be a part of our family. Donna and Mark mean a lot to me. They've been here since about 3 months into our church. And when I first met Don and Mark, Donna had the long flowing black hair all the way down to her waist and everything. And Mark had more hair than he has now. And but they're just neat folks who have been who've played such a major role in our church and in their small group that they're very faithful to. And I went to Donna, I don't know, back in 2000 or so, and I asked Donna to come on our staff. And her personality, just incredibly vivacious. She has an ability interpersonally to make any and everybody feel at home, and contributed so much to us during that time and in our church in that role. And it's kind of funny how we've kind of lived through some of the same stuff that, you know, and Jonathan and Donna were on the staff at the same time. And some of the things that God did in her life to kind of draw her based on her areas of strengths and some areas of passion. So, Donna, talk about that transition maybe that when it first kind of, you know, got seeded and, you know, kind of germinated and kind of grew a little bit. Tell us about that a little bit. No, just go back. No, I'm trying not to. Let's just do the same kind of stuff we did. That was good.
You went to Mark first, though.
I know, I did.
So now I'm really thrown.
I did. You ever go to Mark first?
Yeah.
You ever take? Well, you know what? That's probably a better idea because Donna says it is. But the other reason for that is because Mark actually, Mark's adventure actually.
That's probably the reason.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. That's right. His adventure predated yours, didn't it? And so we were doing 40 Days of Purpose back in around 2002, I believe it was. And somewhere during that time frame, Mark had some challenges in his life concerning professionally. Mark was a successful salesman in the business world, despite the fact that he's a Carolina graduate. And some things happened there, and Mark, you know, had some opportunities. So, Mark, talk about that. Thank you, Donna, for reminding me of that. That's his story should come first.
Well, I had been with a company, and I look out in the audience, I see a former co-worker, so I'm going to bring him into the story a little bit. And I told him that this morning. Workers, actually. I got two of them out there. But I had been with this company for 22 years, and I did enjoy what I was doing. And I felt like I was pretty good at what I did. But it just eventually, the guy that owned it, the company died. His two sons took it over. Some things changed. I was not necessarily on the same page with those guys. And Leon out there had been nudging me for years, you need to get out of here, man. You need to go do something else. I never wouldn't listen to him. But in January of 2002, I had gotten to the point where I just personally, I don't think I was satisfied with what I was doing, along with not being very happy. And I didn't look forward to going to work anymore. But I thought I did want to do something different. And I wanted to try to make a difference. Somewhere down the line, I just felt like I wanted to make a difference in somebody's life, and I wasn't doing it where I was. And so in January of 2002, I actually approached our administrative offices of the school system and said, I'm interested in pursuing a lateral entry business position in the school system. What is it, you know, I need to do to find out if I'm eligible to do this? And so I had to send my transcripts to Department of Public Instruction in Raleigh, where they review it, and my degree was not a business degree, but it was a business-related degree. And so I had sent my transcripts in January of 2002 to DPI, and I heard back, and they said, you know, we're sorry, but your degree is not a relevant business degree. And so at that point, I started looking at different universities in the area that had business education, and I went to Greensboro to A&T, and met with the dean of the department there, and I asked her, I said, you know, I'm interested in possibly pursuing a lateral entry business position. You know, how many courses do I need to take to put myself in a position that I can do that? And so she reviewed my transcripts, and she said, and I heard back, got a letter in the mail from her about a week later, and basically she said, you need 63 hours of courses to be able to teach business in high school. And at that point, in my life with two teenagers, two car payments, a house payment, it just wasn't going to happen. I mean, that was basically two full years of college. And so I truly put it on the back burner, and I said, well, you know, this just isn't going to happen. And then in August of that year, middle of August, Leon said, we have a meeting. Yates would like to meet with you. I said, what do I need to get? A notepad? And Leon was like, no, you don't need anything. I was like, something's up. And I went in that meeting, and I got laid off that day. And I knew the business was struggling, and they were going through some changes. And even though I had been looking, I wasn't prepared for that. And I mean, it was truly a bullet between my eyes. And I left that day, and it's hard to describe the despair that you feel. And I remember getting in the car and just driving aimlessly, probably for 2 to 3 hours. I don't even know where I went. Just driving and thinking, you know, I've got house payments, car payments, I've got kids to feed, and it was a helpless feeling. And I remember going home that night, and I walked into the bedroom where my boys were, and I said, guys, some things have changed my life. I said, I lost my job today.
You didn't do this first service.
I know. But, you know, I said, guys, I've lost my job. I don't know what it means other than, you know, financially things will get tight. And you know, whatever will happen, we'll see. But I just want y'all to know that. And I laid in bed that night, and I'm like, God, I need some help. You know, I need you. And I remember grabbing my Bible, and just randomly opened the Bible. I went to Hebrews chapter 10, and I read that chapter, and I got nothing out of it. And I was like, God, please. And I read then chapter 11, verse 1, and it's become my mantra. And it said, what is faith? The confident assurance that something you want will happen. The certainty that something you're hoping for is out there, although you may not be able to see it. And then verse 6 says, you can never please God without faith and what totally depending on Him. And anybody who comes to God must first believe that there is a God and that He will truly reward all those who sincerely look toward Him. And that whole chapter dealt with people of great faith in the Bible, and it talked about Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Abel, and it just talked about faith. And I read that chapter, and I still, every time I tell the story, and I've told it thousands of times at this point in my life, but I truly felt this burden, and from the head up, I felt the burden leave me, and I just felt it just leave my body just from top down, and it just went, and the burden was gone, and I get chills every time I tell it, because it was such an incredible feeling. And at that point, I said, God, the ball's in your court. You know, whatever will be, but I'm truly not worried about this anymore. And I was thinking, you know, I got a punch list, things around the house I need to do. I said, man, I play some golf, lower my handicap a little bit. Got a little bit of severance, you know, got a little bit of money. I said, you know, I'm not worried that, you know, get a job right away. Need to get one fairly soon. And so that Monday, I called central office and I said, you know, some things have changed in my life. I've lost my job and I would like to substitute teach to see if teaching is something I want to pursue. And the personnel director said, Mark, are you aware the job has just opened up at Williams High School? I said, you're kidding. She said, no. So they're going to be interviewing for that job on Wednesday. So I got off the phone. I called Principal Williams, Gary Thornburg. I said, Gary, I understand you're hiring a business position. So I'd love to interview for that job. So on Wednesday, I went in and interviewed. And on Friday, I was hired. And then during the interview, I told Gary the story, you know, of Hebrews chapter 10. Then I told him about 11, too. But but I said, I don't know why, but I said, I'm supposed to be here. This is where I belong, and I believe that with all my heart. And I was hired that Friday, and I went to school, and I sometimes be careful what you ask for. And I went to school that Friday, and I got books and the classes I was going to be teaching, and one of the classes was an accounting course. I'd taken accounting in 1978, and I wasn't very fresh on it. And I tell my accounting students this story every year, but opened that book up on chapter 1 on Friday night, and I read chapter 1, high school accounting, and I didn't understand anything. I read it a second time, and I still didn't understand anything. And I kid you not, man, beads of sweat were starting to pour off of me. And I read that chapter a third time. It's just talking about debits and credits and normal balances, and all of a sudden it's like somebody took a light switch and went click, and I said, oh. And that's obviously it's one of my favorite courses. Love teaching accounting. But that Monday, I was in the classroom teaching, and I was like a deer in the headlights, but God worked it out for me, and there I was.
That's great. And that's a great thing. That's an awesome story. And Mark's going to tell us a little bit more in a few minutes. But Donna, go ahead and bring in where we talked about a few minutes ago, where you are.
When I saw what Mark was doing, education was something that I had always wanted to do, but because of certain obstacles, it just never happened. And but I saw his passion and his love for this new job, and it kind of rekindled a spark that I had that I wanted to pursue. And so I went to Bud, and we discussed it, and that's, as Jonathan said, that was one of the beauties of being on staff here, that you had that openness and you could discuss, you know, most places you couldn't go to your boss and say, well, I'm thinking about doing this, and they said, well, let me help you, and that just wouldn't happen. But he was very willing to help me find direction, and during this time, I really had a desire And, you know, God will give you the desires of your heart if you just ask him. And in just Jeremiah 29:11, you know, there was, God will show you the plan. He has a plan for you. And I knew that he had a plan for me, but I just wanted to be like Mark and just hit me over the head and say, here, this is what you need to do. But that just didn't happen for me. I really searched and searched. And one of the verses that I would always stand by is, trust the Lord with all your heart and all your way. Acknowledge him, and he will let you know your plan. And I just said, well, show me that. What is it? What is it you want me to do? He will lead your way. And I just said, show me. Where do you want me to go? What do I do? And being on staff, a lot of the things that Bud is showing now with the strengths, we did the Strengths Finder and several different, we did spiritual pathways and just several different assessments. So I was doing everything I could find just to try to find my path and where I was supposed to be and what I needed to do. And I kept leaning towards education and thinking, well, maybe I need to go back to school and finish my education degree. And finally, I went into the classroom a year ago and realized that, yeah, I'm in the right place now, but I wasn't in the right job. I knew I needed to be in the education field. And then from looking at my strengths, and people is one of my strengths, and learning is one of my strengths. And so that just confirmed me that I needed to be in education, although it doesn't, I mean, you can just be learning in anything. It can be a knitting class, I just needed to be learning constantly. And my skills and my strengths, it just kind of equated. And everything that I was, these assessments I was taking, it kind of kept coming back. A teacher or administration, something in that field. So, I mean, I took my strengths and my skills and combined them. And now I work for an elementary school, but not in an educational field. I work as a secretary and a bookkeeper. And it's one thing that I wrote this down. This is kind of paraphrased what Bud said at work one day. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. He's mentioned this, but when you have the job that you love and that's right for you, a long day's work does not really exhaust you, but it energizes you. The passion of what you do gives you energy throughout the day. Well, when I was in my other jobs and when I job here, I just wasn't getting the that passion. I didn't have that energy. But now when I leave my job, now I leave it after a long day's work, sometimes 10 or 11 hours, and I'm like, I love this job. You know, thank you, God, for letting me, for directing me here. But it was a search for me. It was like I had mentioned earlier, a treasure chest that God has for everybody. But you have to take the map to that treasure chest, and you have to find where the treasure chest is and then start searching through it. And one of the things that I was searching for was a vocation that I felt like God really had for me. It kind of helped identify me. Some people, I think, can separate the two, but that was part of who I felt like I was. I had to first work on myself, my self-worth and self-esteem, and that took a while to try to get that right, because you have to believe in yourself, I think, before you can find that passion that you need, find that place that's right for you. So I just searched that treasure chest and finally found what God had in store for me, and there's plenty of things left in the treasure chest to, you know, throughout life.
So what Mark had, you'd seen these years, you pretty much found, didn't you?
I did, uh-huh. And it was kind of a struggle sometimes with, you know, he coming home and he having such a passion and telling me things, and I just couldn't, we didn't have that.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't relate mm-hmm. very well. Mm-hmm. We could, but we couldn't. And now I think we feel each other's pain and each other's
pleasures, yeah.
And we understand mm-hmm. Where it's all coming from. But
that's a great story. That's a great story, too. Donna Clapp, ladies and gentlemen. So, Mark, kind of go into, I know you had some affirmations early on, and you're still getting affirmations today. I mean, pretty much as we speak. I mean, you've built this program at Williams into a pretty well-recognized program, I think, around the state and all, and doing a lot of things with that. But talk for a couple minutes about some of those affirmations you got.
Well, one thing I always like to share is when I was hired, I remember going back to Walker and Braxton. I said, guys, guess what? I got a job. And they were both students at Williams High School. And they said, doing what? I said, teaching. And they's like, teaching? Where? I said, Williams. And I tell people, if I had a camera, if I could have just gotten that Kodak moment right there, because the look on their faces were not really excited that I just got hired, but they found out it had more advantages than disadvantages. But after I was hired, I went through the process of, I sent my transcripts back to DPI, and actually a letter that I had written, but I had sent it to Leon to rewrite on baby needs stationery, just detailing my work history and what I had done for the company. And when I was hired under a what they call emergency entrance condition, which basically meant that I was hired on a first-year teacher pay scale. And for all of you guys who have heard that teachers don't make much money, it's true. I promise, it's true. And so it was about a third of what I was making. And on top of that, I had to go back and take 15 hours of classes that first year just to even be considered to be rehired for the second year. And I looked at that and I said, you know, God, if this is meant to be, you know, it will be. And I said, you know, I'm going to go into this, you know, with the severance that I got and what I was making. I said, you know, we can get by this first year and we can, you know, somehow or another we can make ends meet. And so I sent my transcripts along with this letter to DPI, and about, that was in August, and sometime about 6 to 7 weeks later, I was in the library reading my emails, and I had an email from our personnel director. And I still can see it. I probably should have saved that one, but the first line said, Mark, you must be living right. So we just heard back from DPI. They have now accepted your degree as a lateral entry business degree, whereas 9 months ago they didn't. I was like, well, man, that's great. And then he said, on top of that, they've designated 12 hours of courses that you need to complete to get your certification. 63 hours, 12 hours, and I had 2 years to do it. I said, that's very doable. And then she said, on top of that, they've granted you your 22 years of work experience, and my pay scale went from a first-year teacher to a 22-year teacher, which amounted to about a $20,000 raise. And I stood up in the library, and I went, thank you, God. And the teacher sat beside me. She said, what are you doing? I said, I am having a spiritual experience right now. And that's the truth. But I knew at that point that God had placed me there, and that I was there for a reason. And from that point forward, I've never, ever wavered from that thought. And so as I've gone, this is now my fifth year, and I've been able to do some things at the school with a Finance Academy program that we are doing. And then when I started teaching, coaching was a passion of mine, something that I wanted to do. And 3 years ago, I started coaching girls golf, and I had never coached girls before, but that has truly been a learning experience of me dealing with girls. I've got two sons, so I didn't have daughters, but kind of the emotions that girls and the things that happen has been a real...
Now you understand Donna a lot better,
yeah, I do.
Right?
I really do, man. It's been very interesting, needless to say. But my real passion was basketball, and 2 years ago, the head coach at Williams left to go to the Elon School, and they were looking to hire a new coach, and I actually had contacted my former high school coach, and I said, Coach, what's that, man? You need to come to Burlington and be our coach. And I said, I'll be your assistant. I said, but he had taken another job, and so that didn't happen, and they had hired a guy who had been there for a couple of years and left and went to the mountains to coach, but they hired him back. And Josh was 26 at the time, and so at the end of golf season, he actually came up to me that last season, his first year, and he said, Mark, I'd like you to be my assistant coach. I'm like, where'd that come from? I don't know, but it's just, again, it was God just weaving his plan for me and putting me where I wanted to be, but where I think he wanted me to be as well. And I'll never forget, and I tell this story too, you know, it was in the golf season, and I was tired. And I was thinking, I don't know if I want to do this. It's just a time factor. And that was the same period, and I know most of you guys probably remember Tony Perrott when he died in that car wreck on the interstate. And that was where I told Josh, I said, well, let me think about this for a couple of days. And that's when that happened. And I realized at that point, life is short. and I may not have this opportunity again. And that next day I said, yeah, I want to do this. And so I've been the assistant coach. This will be my second year with the boys' varsity team, and loving that, even though I leave, 7:30 in the morning, get home at 7:30 at night, or later sometimes. But also the students that I hear from that I've taught who have, I'm humbled by what they've told me and how they have just said, you know, the difference that I've made and how I have done things to change their lives. And it's the reason I'm there. And I tell my students every year, every class I get, I tell what I call my story of how I ended up as a teacher. And I said, I don't know, for whatever reason, guys, I said, God has put me here and he's put you here with me. I said, I don't know why. I said, but I do know that we're here for a reason. I said, hopefully you guys will learn something from you, and I have no doubt I will learn from you guys. And so it's just been every day I look forward to work, and I love what I do, and I have no doubt that it was just part of God's master plan.
What has this done, you guys, both of you, for, you know, now you're both kind of in that groove? I mean, what is that, you know, what has that done for you even together as a couple?
Well, there's no doubt that, and about 3 or 4 years ago when Donna was really unhappy, and I think menopause had something to do with that, the onset of that, but she was a tough woman to live with there for a while. And I remember Bud coming to school one day, and he and I sitting down and talking, and he was just trying to figure out, and I said, I can't figure out, but I don't know. But she was not happy. And this year, and you know, there's no doubt, you know, with the her whole change is so obvious. Even though both of our sons are now, we've got one at UNCW, one at Western Carolina, so it's just us two now. But we are, as in my opinion, are as close as we've ever been. And I think we do relate to each other. We come home and we can share some of the same war stories. Although my kids are older, and they do. I'm telling her that her kids be doing what my kids are doing, and, mm-hmm. you know, give them time, they'll get there. But we've gotten a lot closer. Donna is without a doubt as happy as I've seen her in a long time. And so, I, you know, right now God has blessed us in many, many ways.
Thank you guys so much. Donna and Mark Clapp, John Garner, thank you guys so much for sharing with us your story today. That says so much more than I could ever say. Just real quickly, I want to give you a couple things in review. I want to give you three things. And we talked about Ephesians 4, and there are three things basically.
I need to cut Bud off for a second.
Oh, you got to cut me off, man?
Yeah, because, you know, this is a man who I just want to publicly recognize as a man who is willing to take risk. And I think everybody here appreciates a person who practices what they preach. And he does that sometimes. He really does. This is actually one of the areas that he does that. And I mean, we all have our short. This guy gets attention in many ways. He's up here every Sunday. Everybody sees him, thinks probably he gets enough attention as it is. But unfortunately, a lot of times he gets attention for some of his shortcomings because he is a public figure.
And I am short.
But the fact is that, you know, a lot of people have been blessed as a result of his willingness to take risk. It's one of the very things that he catches a lot of flack for at the same time because it takes us out of our comfort zone. But not only, you know, my and Donna's, our testimonies to the fact that we could be on a staff where we could make known our issues and, you know, that he was actually willing to help us work through some of those and to discover our strengths and even be willing to say, and you know what? I think that it's gonna hurt us, you know, in the immediate. But in the long run, I think you're gonna be healthier in a different position. And he was willing to take that risk. I mean, with Donna, myself, and others all throughout. So I just want to thank you for that. And
thank you, John.
Thank you for living what you're preaching.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks, bro. You the man. Yeah. Appreciate it. It's a joy to serve with the people that I serve with and with you and the people in our office and our staff. And I think, you know, if you know them, just what a privilege that it is for me to work with them. I wrote an email to someone this week and who was, you know, and like John said, we get this, who was dissatisfied, who felt that, you know, the direction was probably not the way it should go. And I kind of or maybe some, you know, things that had gone on in some other ministry areas. And I just simply said, look, I said, with where we've been going the past couple of years, the direction that God has for us, and with the people that we have kind of leading the charge from a staff perspective, from an elder's perspective, from other ministry leaders, et cetera, I feel very good about the future, about the direction that we're headed. And, you know, we're kind of entering, as I said earlier, a second decade, and that means some changes. That means that we're no longer babies, and we're no longer, we can't go back and say, well, we're just a new church. We've got to make sure that we know the direction that God has for us, and I feel so good about where God's taking us. Now, you, if you're a part of that, and I hope that you are, we're going to need to be patient with that, because we're moving in some new way and some new things, and we're going to do it right, and that's going to take some time, and it's going to take you getting on board with us, as Stephen sang earlier, in the train, getting to get on board that train. And you know, I think that God is really showing us some beautiful things, some cool things. You know, I'm just going to put on the website this week the blanks that would be filled in today, because I told somebody before the first service, I told them, I said, this is one of those accordion messages. I can make it, you know, I can stretch it out if we need to, or we can kind of, you know, compress it if we need to. So we're just going to compress it and leave it with what we've talked about today. But I do want you to do this. We were going to talk about what you're going to see is some stuff on some trends. We asked you the question last week, what does a growing Christian look like, a growing Christ follower? What are some of the things that you anticipate, some of the things that you see? And what you're going to see are three things that come out of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Three specific trends that go that way. And I want you to understand, as you look at those trends, that's what God expects from us. Now, after we come back from our, well, we're not come back because we're not going anywhere, but after Christmas, when we come back in January, we're going to start our Christmas series called Unwrapping the Christmas Mystery in a couple weeks. But after that series in January, we're going to come back to Ephesians 4, because we're going to look, you know, what you're going to see on the website, we identified three trends that God, you know, just says this is what a growing Christian looks like. But then we're going to go into the traits. We're going to move from the trends to the traits. In other words, what do these trends mean? If I'm growing, or if someone who's becoming a maturing Christ follower, what does that look like in everyday life? Because I really believe that's where God's growing us as a church, to teach us how to really help people know what it means to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Because that's what it's all about. That's really what it's all about. I'll be sharing some stuff with you, and I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, have a great weekend. Thanks, Donna and Mark and Jonathan and Chuck, for teaching us today. All the things that, out of your experiences, that have such great application to us. And you know, just be inspired that no matter where you are right now, God wants you to take you even further into that groove of life that He has for you, where things are kind of like they become easier because things, you're energized and you're loving what you do. And, you know, even when you get through at the end of the day, you wouldn't mind doing some more of it. God has that plan for you, I believe, just as He has these three and others in our church that have found that groove themselves. So let's pray, and we'll be dismissed today. God, thank You for Your love and for Your grace. God, thank You for stories. God, for we see